Well, thank you, Christian, for those encouraging words to us tonight. And thank you, Holy Fourth Years, who shared your stories with us tonight, stories of what God has been doing in your lives over these past 4 years. Fourth Years, you truly will be missed. You made an impact here at the University of Virginia, and we love you deeply. We look forward to how God continues to use you. Well, hi, everybody. It's good to see you tonight. By way of introduction, my name is Josh Fairchild. I am just wrapping up my sixth year on staff with Chi Alpha, so I've been around for a while. Thank you. I graduated way back with a mighty fine class of 2009. That's what we called ourselves because we thought we were really cool. I graduated with a degree in computer engineering, and shout out to CPE, and now I am married to my wonderful wife, Kathy, who's there in the back with our six-month-old son, Carter. He is awesome. Oh, yeah, and there's a picture of Carter hanging out at Kroger. That's right. Well, tonight we are wrapping up our series through the book of Genesis called The Elements of Life. We have been looking at these elements that aren't found on the periodic table yet are extremely consequential in our lives. Now, I imagine that in addition to the elements of life, some of you have been studying other topics this semester, maybe chemistry or Greek or discrete math or art history or whatever. And now the final exams are looming. A couple days, finals will be here, believe it or not. But thankfully, the calm before the storm is this little thing the university calls reading day. Now, I always felt that reading day was a little bit of a misnomer. I mean, on a reading day, I would love to borrow one of your Eno hammocks and set it up in one of the gardens next to the lawn and let a gentle breeze rock me to sleep as I pleasure read. But, as we all know, that is not what the university means by reading day. During reading days, I would go with my buddy Jordan Allen to the C3 at Lambeth, get a gallon of apple juice, because I loved apple juice, and enough Sour Patch Kids to keep me up all night long. We'd go back to our dorms, cram as much information and data and equations into our short-term memories as possible, study all through the night, hit that 4 a.m. slump, push through it, go to the exam site the next day, and crush the final. That's my reading day. That's right. I showed probability who was boss. So those are my reading days. Now, if your method of learning is anything like mine ever was, then, you know, stuffing it in the short-term memory to regurgitate it the next day, you probably won't remember a lot of chemistry or art history or calculus come July. And maybe that's okay, as long as you pass the final. But when it comes to the elements of life, not condoning that, called to be good students, but when it comes to the elements of life, that just won't cut it. After all, M&L this semester has not been just about helping you pass the spiritual chemistry final exam. Well, that does sound like a fantastic Christian dating book title. Or the next Chi Alpha series, we'll see. Spiritual chemistry. No, remembering these realities is essential because who we are and whose we are will never cease to matter. God knew this, which is why he gave his people, the ancient Israelites, the textbook, the book of Genesis. God spoke the words of Genesis through his prophet Moses, and in tonight's passage, we'll see God use Moses one final time to give Israel a crucial piece of advice, a warning, an encouragement that we must hear tonight. So turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Try Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy. Thinking, what? Deuteronomy? I thought we were studying Genesis. Well, we finished Genesis last week with the story of Joseph, so we're moving on. But let me catch you up to speed. So when you turn from the end of Genesis to the beginning of Exodus, you fly through 400 years of history. Because after Joseph, who visited us last week from the great cloud of witnesses, after Joseph died, another Pharaoh came to rule Egypt who didn't take too kindly to the Israelites. And he put them into bondage for 400 years. Israel served as slaves to the Egyptians. And after 400 years, God set his people free through the leadership of Moses. God sent the plagues, crossed the Red Sea, wandered in the desert for 40 years. And after that 40 years of wandering in the desert, we find ourselves in tonight's passage. In tonight's passage, Israel is on the eve of entering the promised land, the land promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This is the moment. History is about to be made. Emotions are running high. What in this moment, on the eve of entering the promised land, will God say to his people? Let's read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end, it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. So on the eve of history, what does God say? He says, remember me. When you've washed the desert dust off of your body, remember me. When you no longer wake up in the morning and find a scorpion slithering between your bed sheets, remember me. When your tent no longer gets knocked over by the dust storm in the desert, remember me. When you draw water from the well, when food is planted and harvested in season, when the living gets good, remember me. Lest your heart becomes proud and you forget where you've come from and how God has brought you to where you are now. Friends, as we stand on the eve of summer, may we resolve to remember. I don't know what your summer looks like or what the next season looks like. For some of you, it may look a lot like the promised land. For some of you, maybe you see some snakes and scorpions out there. It looks a little bit more like a desert. But whatever the case may be, whatever you're going to do in this next season of life, this encouragement to remember the Lord your God is for you. So what should we remember? The first is this, that God is faithful. That God is worthy of your trust. As you go out, more stays the same than changes. Environments may change. The people around you may change. Your location may look different. But God does not change. God stays the same. May we remain faithful to him. Fourth year is as you get ready to go out into this new season of life, may you remain faithful to him. I know for some of you, you're going to go into exciting new careers and jobs, and the future is set. And when the nice paycheck starts rolling in, and when the allure of stuff and success rolls into your life, I encourage you to lay it down, just like Abraham did. Abraham surrendered everything to the God who was faithful because he knew he couldn't handle it on his own. Not let your heart become proud, but surrender yourself fully to him. If you're getting ready to walk the lawn and you're filled with excitement but also mixed with uncertainty about the job you're still waiting to hear back from, the grad school acceptance letter you're hoping to get, let me just encourage you to trust in the same God Abraham trusted in. The God who is faithful, the God who knows what you need, the God who keeps his promises, who keeps his covenants, the God who is with you. For all of us, may we remain faithful to this God who is so good and so faithful to us and so capable of handling our idols, our needs, our fears. Second, remember that We serve a God of grace, a God who is gracious. We learned from Jacob's story a couple of weeks ago that we can be in the center of God's presence and totally miss it. Jacob was going through one of the hardest circumstances of his life, and he was doing it alone until God and his grace tackled him. This summer, as you go out, I encourage you to go out and to rest in God's presence, to spend time this summer deepening your real devotional life and allowing yourself to soak in his grace. As Pete already mentioned, that home can oftentimes be a hard place to live holy. It's surrounded with old relationships and environments that send temptations flying at us from all angles. But let me just say this, that when we walk in God's grace, when we spend time face to face with Jesus each day, messing with sin, wrestling with sin becomes a whole lot less appealing. So I encourage you, as you think about deepening your devotional life this summer, spending time with God and his grace to, I don't know what that would mean for you, maybe grabbing some bookmarks, some reading plan bookmarks on your way out tonight, maybe setting aside a certain time of the day, devoting some time each day to spend with Jesus. Maybe it means deciding to fast from a certain TV show or video game or website that you know just distracts you from spending time with him. So maybe remember the element of grace and walk in that this summer. And then finally, may remember this. May remember the element of sovereignty. Remember that you serve the sovereign God of the universe, and he knows exactly what you need because he is with you. Last week, Joseph came and visited us and shared about how in his life, God used the most dire and tragic of circumstances to bring glory to God and to bring flourishing and life and blessing to the nation of Egypt, to the surrounding nations, and to the people of Israel. Know this, that wherever you go, whatever you're doing in this next season of life, that God is with you, that he has sent you, that he wants to use you for his glory, for the blessing and flourishing of those around you. In other words, it just means this, that God is sending you out to be a chiophant, to be Christ's ambassador. That's what it means. For some of you, God is sending you home to be a Christ ambassador to your high school buddies, to share what your first year experience has been like and how you have been radically changed, that you are different because of what God has done in your life through Chi Alpha. God is sending some of you as chiophants to a hospital floor where you will be blessing and bring flourishing and life to sick patients and their families and the doctors and nurses on that floor, that you will be representing Christ there. For many of you, God's sending you home. Home to be a Christ ambassador, to be a chiophant to your family, to show them the difference God has made in your life, and to bring the light of Christ into your home. Wherever it is, I don't know, all of you, whether it's to an internship or to Indonesia and to an investment bank or to an Air Force base, wherever it is you're going out from this place, go in the confidence knowing that God is sending you by his sovereign hand to bring glory to himself and to be blessing, bring flourishing to those around you wherever you go, that there is no circumstance too great, no situation where God is not going to use you this summer wherever you go. So as we go out from this place tonight, may we remember that we serve a God who is faithful and trustworthy, a God who is gracious and always with us, and a God who is sovereign. I'd like to ask the band to come forward now. You know, the good news is that we don't do this alone. If you remember back to the first week of the series, we looked at the element of fellowship, that we pursue this God of grace and faith and sovereignty as a family. Let me just encourage you, as you go out from this place, the end of the semester, into the summer, into whatever the next season of life holds, to do it together. Do it together in Summer Chi Alpha. To do it together with the person sitting next to you right now over FaceTime. To do it together as you take trains and planes and automobiles and hang gliders and submarines, whatever it takes to be with your brothers and your sisters as you go into this next season. called to do this together, not to do it alone. In closing, I just have a few questions I'd like us to meditate on, to use to remember this God. Spend a few, just a minute in silence, meditating in our hearts, then we'll transition into worship. First, I'd just like you to reflect on what God has done in your life over this past year, these past 4 years, how he's been faithful, how has he been gracious to you, or have you seen a sovereign hand at work? Then as you look forward in this summer, this next season of life, whatever it may hold, what is that idol, that fear, that unknown that you need to trust God in, that you need to trust him for? What would it look like to walk radically with Jesus in real devotional life this summer? What difference would that make? What would it look like to believe God is sending you out from here by his sovereign hand to bring the kingdom wherever you go? Now, how do you need fellowship? How do you need fellowship to make this happen this summer? I'd like it's just to spend just one moment, just kind of meditation, remembrance, reflection, and then I will come to move us into worship. So just take a moment. Stand with me. As we scatter from this place, may we remember. We celebrate what God has done in our lives and who he is. May we remember that we live in a world of elements unseen yet so important. May we remember that especially that wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever this next season of life brings, that we worship, we serve a God who's faithful and trustworthy. A God who is gracious and always with you. A God who by his sovereignty uses every circumstance and situation of your life for his glory, for the blessing and flourishing of you and all those around you. Let's pray. Jesus, we worship you tonight. Consecrate our hearts to you, say, yes, Jesus, we want to follow you in this next season. Whatever may come this summer, this next season of life, we know that we can trust you. We know that you are with us. We know that your hand is at work in our lives. So we go with confidence. We go with boldness. We go with great excitement, knowing that we do this journey as a Chi Alpha family. We do this journey with you. So God, with that heart of excitement, anticipation, and of great hope, we turn our hearts to worship you now, God. Come and have our praises as we worship you this final time in this space as a Chi Alpha family. God, I pray that you would solidify in our hearts, things in our hearts, as we worship you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.